to the Forensic Mythology Podcast. This is Crystal.
I'm Trista.
And we have a guest speaker, Ziva the dog.
Ziva, would you like to say anything today?
No, she wouldn't. She's going to be quiet. She just won't leave us alone. That was your big moment. Thank you for your silence.
Ow! Okay.
So, What am I talking about? I don't do this weekly. Last episode, I said, did you say you would die?
I said, yeah, I did.
So would I. We would all die if we did this every week. Last episode, I said what this one would be about, but...
I don't remember that at all, so...
Okay.
I mean, I totally remember it, but could you enlighten all the listeners?
I'm sure they remember better than you.
No, I remember vividly.
So yeah, I decided to do something that's more historical and not, like, mythical for this one. But it's still a mystery. And it is, did Richard III really murder the princes in the tower?
Oh.
So what do you know about that, if anything?
Say that again?
Oh my god. Did Richard III marry? Who am I? Murder the princes in the tower.
The princess or the
princes? Like plural prince.
Yeah, no, I have no clue.
More than one prince.
I only coconuts.
I can't even. Oh, another dog has another burst his way into the door.
Hi, coconut.
He's the dumber one.
Oh, he's so fat. You have anything you want to say?
He's gonna heavy breathe. He needs to go back.
He did heavy breathe into the mic.
I hate it so much.
Oh, okay. Help! Okay.
You just broke everyone's eardrums with your yelling.
You can fix that.
Okay, so,
Sit on my computer!
Yeah, that's why he was supposed to not be in here.
Well, you can take him out. I'm comfy.
Okay. So, obviously, well, maybe not obviously, because you don't know what I'm talking about,
no,
but...
I'm also not the smartest one.
It's a...
the sharpest light bulb in the tool shed.
I hate you. It's a centuries-old mystery with, like, so much drama. Like, Shakespeare wrote a play about it.
Oh, what play?
Like, 100 years later. Richard III.
Oh, it's called Richard III? Oh.
And it's one of, like, my favorite time periods, too. So, thankfully, my most favorite author, Alison Weir, wrote a book about it called...
Your favorite author was...
Okay.
I was under the impression that your favorite author is Jane Austen.
I don't know why you were ever under that impression. Like, I mean, I have all of her books, but... And I like every movie based on her books, but...
Okay, maybe that's why I assumed she was your favorite author. Because you have all her books, and you love all the movies based off her books.
Well, I have a lot of books. But, no, Alison Weir has been my favorite author for, like, a lot of years.
I'm so sorry to admit this, but I do not recognize the name at all. I feel like I just got disowned.
You're close, man. I mean, I have all of her books, too, and she has a lot more books.
I'm sorry.
What's Anyways.
Her most famous book? Also, my computer just made a loud notification noise.
I didn't hear it.
I did.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so, anyways, Alison Weir.
I don't know if everyone else heard it, but I heard it in my ears. It's really loud.
You're kind of yelling a little bit.
I'm sorry.
Back to Jesus Christ. Alison Weir wrote a book, and she called it...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
She called it The Princes in the Tower, which is
Siva, stop.
Very original to The Princes in the Tower. Anyway, so for some backstory, this whole murder mystery happened toward the end of what is known as the War of the Roses. And
what's the War of the Roses?
Well, if you could stop talking, I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
It was basically...
Don't drop everything.
I just broke your eardrums. I just dropped my microphone. So, it was basically a chaotic power struggle between two rival branches of the royal family in England in the 15th century.
Okay.
So, it was called the War of the Roses because the House of Lancaster, which... Everyone just needs to know this right now, that I'm going to say Lancaster, because I'm from Lancaster, California, and I cannot say it like I'm from England or from Pennsylvania.
What do they say? I mean, if you're from England or Pennsylvania.
Like...
Lancaster.
I honestly, it gets jumbled in my head and I'm going to sound like a crazy person. So I'm just going to say it.
You already sound crazy, so I might as well put that up
there. No, I'm just going to say it like Lancaster, California, because it's the trashy desert part of LA County, and it's the only way that I can say Lancaster confidently. Okay. And I don't want to be stumbling through this. But anyways, the House of Lancaster, their symbol was a red rose, and the House of York had a white rose. So that's why, those were the two, like, rival families. Original. You're such a troll. So what?
You literally, several, like, seconds ago, were like, yeah, she wrote a book called The Two Princes or whatever. How original. Okay?
Okay.
Alright, so you don't get to sass me.
Okay. I mean, I will sass.
I'll quit.
Okay, so I, you know, it's gonna sound weird. I'm not saying it like I'm British. I don't pretend to be. I mean, it'd be kind of nice, but whatever.
Are you British?
Yes. So, I mean, you call me mom, so.
Just as.
Okay. Everyone's gonna have to just deal with it. It's fine. So,
I was gonna, I'm like, skipping. Preface, like, about why I said I hate British people. Not seriously, but then I realized I'm gonna dig myself into a deeper hole, so. Why are you staring at me like that?
I'm just staring, you're talking. So, okay, you stop talking for a second. I'm skipping a lot of what led up to this, but eventually, Edward the Fourth, because this is already going to be long-ish. Okay, so Edward the Fourth was crowned King of England, and he's the father of the two princes that we're going to be talking about, and the brother of Richard the Third. He marries Elizabeth Woodville, who by some accounts is pretty witchy. Which, you know, is cool, but I seriously doubt that she actually was, because the propaganda during this time of, like, just one civil war after another was pretty bad, like, worse than Fox News, and that's good to keep in mind about almost everyone in this story. Like, a lot of what we know about it came up way after the fact, when everyone was just, like, really, polarized, we'll say. So, anyway, we have Edward the Fourth and Elizabeth Woodville, solidly Yorkists, so they're the White Rose, and they have a ton of children, they're going along, ruling England, like, everything seems chill, but it was not chill.
Okay.
So he was king for about 9 years, when there was a revolt, and he ran off to Flanders. Yeah, so it was across the channel.
Flanders.
And gathered his army, and then came back, like, 6 months later, and reclaimed his throne, and then ruled peacefully for another 12 years, until his death. Okay. And during the time that the king was in Flanders, and then also later when he died, his wife took their children and ran to a religious institution and claimed sanctuary. Like, do you know what that is?
Yes, I know what it means to claim sanctuary.
Because you've watched The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
I have watched that. That is true. But that's... I don't get all my knowledge from that movie.
Okay, anyways. During the time, like, that the king was in Flanders, and later when he died... Oh, I just repeated myself. I'm cutting that out. I'm taking my time. Okay, so claiming sanctuary meant that they were under the protection of the church, and thereby...
You should ask me if I knew what sanctuary meant when you were just going to explain it right
Because
now.
I wanted to see. It was a test.
Okay,
so they're under the protection of the church, and they're under the... Like, thereby under the protection of God, and no one could forcibly remove them without being considered, like, the most heinous sin.
Oh.
So, she did this because she and her extended family had made enemies with most of the other power players at this time. And she didn't trust anyone.
Does claiming sanctuary still hold up today?
No.
Darn.
I mean,
I'm not even religious, but it would have been kind of cool to be like, hey, if you do anything to me, you're gonna go to hell, dude.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that there's a lot... more religions, and there's a lot more people that don't believe in religions, so the power of
claiming sanctuary has kind of
dwindled.
Dwindled, because it's like someone going, you're gonna go to hell, and someone going, I don't believe in hell, and then just shooting you anyways.
Yes.
That'd be kind of funny.
It's not funny. Shooting people isn't funny.
Well, in that situation, it's a little funny.
Okay. Anyways. So,
people, not even if you feel like a bad person.
You are a little bit. So this was, wait, where was I at?
God, you can't. Sanctuary, it's when...
Oh, she didn't trust anyone. Okay, so, this is especially true after her husband, the king, died, because during her first round of sanctuary, she knew that he was coming back to rescue them. But when the king died, he left one of his brothers, as regent for his son. So that means that the king's brother, Richard, Duke of Gloucester, would essentially rule as king for his young nephew, who was only 12 when his father died. So 12-year-old Edward V and his 9-year-old brother ended up in the care of their uncle Richard, which their mother, the former queen, disapproved of vehemently. Like, she...
She hated him?
She just did not trust him. And it turns out that she was definitely correct, because he went down in history as the evil uncle who murdered his two young nephews in order to usurp their throne.
Awesome.
Even though his brother, the former king, entrusted his children to him. So, like, the ultimate betrayal.
That reminds me of a Barbie movie I saw once.
Oh, God. What Barbie movie?
I don't remember if it... Are you crying?
No, I just got, like, moisturizer in my eyeball.
Ow.
Yeah, anyways, continue.
I don't remember the Barbie movie very well. And I was going to talk about it, but then I realized I don't remember the plot a whole lot. And now that I'm thinking about it, I think I might have accidentally thought about the Three Musketeers, which is anywhere close to this.
Wait, yeah, because there's a Barbie Three Musketeers movie and, like, the uncle tries to take over. I think that's pretty accurate.
I think that's...
Wrong country. A little bit Barbie-esque, but it's okay. So...
What country did the Barbie movie take place in?
Well, The Three Musketeers is French.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, so anyways, back to whatever we're talking about. So even though I don't actually believe this is true, the queen was still right to not trust him, because even if he did not murder his nephews or send somebody to murder his nephews, they still went missing on his watch and under his care. So, yeah, she probably should have kept them in sanctuary. I don't know. But,
Well, I think it's a bit too late to, try and change
things. Yeah, I know. The biggest reason that I think Richard III, did not actually kill his nephews, well, a couple reasons. Like, one, he already had all the power of a king, and it would be quite some time before, the little King Edward V could rule on his own. But also, and more importantly, because the boys going missing created a massive problem for him. As he stood next in line to the throne, everyone would assume that he had the most to gain from their deaths, and people started demanding to see the boys. And him and his followers tried to put together, like, half-assed stories about how they were just fine, and they scrambled to, like, locate the missing boys. I also think that, by all accounts, if Richard III was going to dispose of his nephews, he would have done it in a much smarter way, because them just disappearing caused most of the country to hate him. While simultaneously... He's not, though. Like, by all accounts, he was very methodical and, like, level-headed, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, like, not only did it make everybody hate him, but also it set the stage for any random pretender to appear down the road and say, hey, look, I'm the missing little prince. Like, let's revolt, you know, and get my throne back. So being able to provide proof of the boys, either dead or alive, would have been very important to Richard. And instead, they were just missing, you know. So, like, that doesn't really fit with his vibe.
Okay.
So, also, though, the council, like, that he had set up, because he was Lord Protector or whatever, had already declared the boys illegitimate by the time they went missing, by saying that their father had actually been betrothed to someone else before he married their mother. So they were technically bastards, like, based on that info, and Richard would have inherited the throne anyway. And the argument that he had to kill them so they're would not be uprisings to restore them to the throne didn't make sense, because, as I already mentioned, the way this all went down, they were just missing, and anyone could claim that they were the prince and start a revolt, you know? So it's like, what did he gain from them just being missing? So people who believe that Richard was not the murderer of his nephews point to the fact that most of the responsibility for Richard being the villain is due to a history written by Sir Thomas More. And this happened, like, I want to say close to, like, 40-something years later.
Who is Sir Thomas More?
So he was a, he actually is a saint. He has been declared a saint by the church later after he died.
How did he get declared a saint?
I mean, you have to be churchy in the church. Okay.
I thought that was a given, but okay.
I could declare myself a saint. It's fine. So, Sir Thomas More was not exactly, like, unbiased in his approach. And he's the one that mostly, like, wrote him as a villain, you know? Mm-hmm. So, in this book, Unsolved Mysteries of History, it says, Sir Horace Walpole described More as an historian who's capable of employing truth only as a cement in a fabric of fiction. So, not a great truth teller, we'll say.
An unreliable narrator.
Yes, perfect. So, undeniably, he got certain facts wrong. Among them, his description of Richard's deformities, the hunchback, and the withered arm appeared in no other contemporary reference. More was only 5 when Richard took the throne and only 7 when he died, so he obviously wasn't writing about anything he witnessed personally. And one source may have been Cardinal John Morton, in whose household More lived as a boy. A more biased source could hardly be imagined. Morton was both imprisoned and exiled by Richard III, so obviously he's gonna make him look the very worst monster, right?
Yeah.
Above all, Ricardians, as they're called, argued that More's account didn't make sense. If the royal council had already ruled the princes were bastards and so couldn't inherit the throne, why would Richard have to kill them?
Pause. All right, so you were saying?
Okay, so they also point to the incoming Henry VII, who ended up killing Richard III in the Battle of Bosworth and becoming the first Tudor king of England.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think that there is enough evidence to point to Henry orchestrating the murders either, but he would have certainly benefited from them being out of the succession. And from how bad it made Richard III look to his own subjects, like, thereby gaining support for Henry's own claim to the throne. Sorry, I just, like, threw my mic at myself.
It's fine.
I don't really know what happened. Another piece of evidence that's, like, perhaps the most compelling is that the boy's mother, Elizabeth Woodville, who the former queen, her reaction to Richard, even though she didn't trust him, she never actually accused him of murdering the boys.
Oh.
And in 1484, Elizabeth even sent her daughters out of sanctuary and into Richard's care, less than a year after he supposedly murdered their brothers.
Okay.
So it could be argued that the girls would not be a threat to Richard's throne, so they'd be, not be in danger, but,
Why would a mother send her daughters
exactly.
after her son just got murdered?
Yes, exactly. And Henry had already promised to marry her oldest daughter, Elizabeth, in order to bolster his own claim to the throne. His own claim to the throne. And with all this considered, it seems unlikely that Richard murdered the princes in the Tower.
Okay.
Because, like, she could have just waited, you know, for somebody. Elizabeth was already promised to Henry, Henry Tudor. But instead, she, you know, Elizabeth Woodville sent her daughters out to go and marry Richard III. So, this poor girl, she had to marry him, who was actually her uncle, and that's creepy in itself. But it was a thing then. And then she also ended up marrying after Henry VII killed him on the Battle of Bosworth. She also ended up marrying him. So she got tossed around all over the place. I don't know what she wanted, because we don't know that much. But hopefully she was happy.
Hopefully.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see. We won't see.
Yeah.
I don't know why I
said we're not going to see anytime soon, or anytime at all.
We can speculate, and that is it. So, there's another theory that, like, the Duke of Buckingham, who's another, like, royal cousin, had murdered them or kidnapped them. Mm. He was an ally of Richard, and then he wasn't, and it was just, it was all just so much Jerry Springer drama.
I don't know who Jerry Springer is.
That's good. But, like, just, like, so much drama of people switching back and forth and, like, conspiracies and treason and spies. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
But, the mother of, another theory is that the mother of the next king, Henry VII, who was gonna be invading, you know, soon, her name was Margaret Beaufort, and she was extremely ambitious in her efforts to get her son on the throne. So some people have speculated that she hired people to go and kill the princes in the tower because it would, you know, even if he defeated Richard in the battle, like, the princes being alive, they still had a much stronger claim than he did.
Yeah.
So even if he didn't directly do it, like, it's entirely possible his crazy mother did it. I mean, we don't know. But so anyways, the boys were just missing. And then, until 1674, when workmen at the tower discovered a chest containing two small skeletons, which were wrapped in velvet, which indicated that they were of high rank. Mm. And they were reinterred at the Westminster Abbey until the tomb was...
Well, that means whoever killed them had a guilty conscience, I think, if they wrapped them up in velvet.
Or they were just wearing the clothes they were in.
Oh, the way you said it, I was under the impression that they were, like...
Well, it says a chest and not a coffin, so honestly, you could be right. Like, it seems like a smaller box that they hid something in, mm-hmm. by the description. I don't know the size of the chest. That's something I probably should have checked out. Right. But, so they were, reinterred at, whatever it's called, Westminster Abbey, until the tomb was opened in 1933 for a study by Lawrence Tanner, Westminster's archivist, and William Wright, the president of Britain's Anatomical Society. And they were able to confirm, based on dental evidence, because this was 1933, they don't have DNA or anything. It's not bones. They were able to determine that the older child was 12 or 13, and the younger was between 9 and 11, which is perfect, because when they went missing, they were, I think, 13 and 10.
Okay.
So, it was, like, pretty much a perfect match for the princess. So, we can assume that they did die as children, but we still don't know who was responsible. So, another theory, besides that I just said, like, oh, it's a perfect match, we can't really confirm their identity. So another theory that has always, you know, persisted is that they were just never murdered, and they went to live some other life under the alias, like, under an alias. So yes, bones were found in a buried chest in 1933, but they were not able to confirm their identity in any real way. And there is evidence to that, you know, people have brought up that they took other names. I had read a bit about it, but I feel like this is already going on too long and everyone doesn't know which Richards and Edwards I'm talking about. I feel like I've been confusing.
It's a lot of Richards. I was just said rich words.
Rich words, yes.
There's a lot of Richards and Edwards.
Yeah, a lot of them. But, you know, there are theories for that, right? And there's always going to be conspiracy theories floating around, so... but anyways, in 2012, a team of archaeologists uncovered Richard III's remains under a parking lot in Leicester.
Awesome.
His bones showed that he did have mild scoliosis, but was not seriously deformed, like some of the propaganda suggested. Because, you know, I talked about Thomas More and his account, but, like, yeah. Also, I didn't really, like, go into detail on Shakespeare, because I assume most people have probably read that. But, like, you know, he was, like, this deformed monster. And back in the day, at this time period, if someone was physically deformed,
yeah.
They attributed that to some moral deficiency. So if you had any sort of physical deformity,
they're just like, they were like, God hates you because you did
exactly,
something bad.
Exactly. And so it was really horrifying, but that's a discussion for another time. But, you know, so they made him out to be more physically deformed to make
him seem like a worse person?
Yes. So he didn't really have, like, a noticeable deformity. It was, like, a slight scoliosis. So everyone can calm down about that. But, I know, like, I jumped all over the place with this. And we will likely never know exactly what happened. And I just would prefer to believe that he did not murder his young nephews that he was entrusted with by his own brother and was by all accounts very close to. Like, I'll just, you know, keep thinking that. Really, Coconut? Again? How do you open my door?
He's learned.
God, he's evolved. Yeah, he's annoying. Okay, so I'll just keep thinking that it's true that he didn't murder his nephews until more evidence pops up to tell me that I'm wrong. But, you know, we are kind of at a place where there is a lot of new technology that maybe we'll get more answers. I hope so. I mean, back then they couldn't have imagined that, you know, the skeletons could be identified as a 13 and a 10-year-old boy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was done in 1933, so we're almost 100 years later now.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations to us. But that is all for The Princess in the Tower. Basically, yeah, there's a strong case it was Richard, because he had a lot to gain, but I just feel like he would have been smarter about it, and there's a lot of crazy, crazy stuff happening in that time.
Fair enough.
That I can't explain in one little tiny episode.
Fair enough.
So, are you going to talk about anything next time, or are you just here for the yawning?
Just here for the yawning.
All right.
Listen, I got to write an essay that's due this week that I have not written yet at all.
You should probably not say that here. What if your professor's listening?
They don't know which class it is. It's okay.
Touché.
Actually, now that I think about it, I have two essays I gotta write.
Well, you better get off of here. So, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook and email and
I don't even know.
At Forensic Mythology.
Got a website.
That's fine. They can find it. Just Google it. And
they can find it.
And, yeah, I actually have another one that's coming. And this one didn't take us a year. I forgot to say that, like, up front. Like, congratulations, everyone. It only took me, like, 2 weeks instead of a full ass year.
A little incentive to stay here.
So there is another one coming soon, but I will, as always, not tell you when. It'll be a surprise. Thanks, bye.
Oh, shoot, we're going. Bye. Thank you.